I was going to say good afternoon to you all, but it's evening, isn't it now? So good evening to you all. It's lovely to be here with you. It really has been great. It'd be good if you could turn now to Psalm 92. Actually, I think it's going to go up on the screen, but if you want to follow it in your Bibles, it's a good time to turn now. And I'll tell you just a little bit about myself and Linda. I'm sure you already know. My name's Phil Fillimore. My real Christian name is Rowan, but I've been called Phil ever since I went to Raynes Park Grammar School many years ago. So I'm a southerner, born in Epsom, close to the racetrack, brought up in Chessington, close to the zoo, and behind the RAF station. My wife is Linda, that's her, and we both became Christians within a few months of each other, I think 1987 and 1988, either side of Christmas. And Brian, who knows Brian Pratt? Who remembers Brian Pratt? Somerville Chapel, do you? He led me to the Lord. In our house, at the first house group I'd ever been to. It's a story of real deceit and divisiveness that got me there, but she did it in the end. We became Christians as a result of an outreach by a church called West End Christian Fellowship in Wickham, which became Wickham Community Church, which became Birtley Community Church, where I'm now an elder, and I've led worship there for many, many years. And it's worship I'm going to speak to you about today. A couple of months ago, I became concerned to learn of a debate on worship taking place in our circle of churches in Salt and Light, which caused me to look again at the purpose of worship, the purpose of praise, and the purpose of thanksgiving in the church. So let's begin then by reading Psalm 92. Shall we read that aloud together? It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord! How profound your thoughts! Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." And if we can go back to the first slide. Have we done it? It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. The King James Version puts it, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord," and I prefer that. The words praise, thanksgiving, and worship in the Bible can be a bit confusing. We find these words are interchangeable in our modern translations, especially when used in the context of spiritual music or proclamation. This is because the Old Testament Hebrew text in particular has 50 different words for praise and worship, and for all these different manifestations of physical worship mentioned in the original text, whereas English is very limited. It's like the Eskimos, who have 50 different words for snow, because they come from a place where knowing the exact type of snow that there's there is very important to them. It's vitally important to them, because snow and ice have a major impact on everything they do in their lives. And similarly, you'll understand that the Jews of the Old Testament, their expression of love for God was so entwined in their lives, was just as important to them as snow is to the Eskimo. God had a major impact in every aspect of their lives, and he should also have that same impact in ours. So verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and make music. It's interesting, isn't it, that the psalmist is making a clear connection between giving thanks and the playing of music here. And it doesn't just say make music, but make music to his name, the Most High. Do it for him and do it to him. And you'll also notice here that we are not to sing our thanksgivings to him just on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or evening, but also every morning and every evening continually. So we're to sing songs of thanksgiving for him and to him continually, praising him in all circumstances. But if we can go forward to our fourth slide, and if we look at verse 12, we will see something else. And that is, praise is not just for him and to him, but for our benefit too. Verse 12 tells us that when we praise him, the righteous, that's us, I hope, will flourish like palm trees. We will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, we will flourish in the courts of our God. We will still bear fruit in old age. We will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. You will flourish like palm trees, and you will still bear fruit in old age. You will stay fresh and green. Now, we in Birtley Church, and I hope you're not thinking I'm rude here, but just looking around, you're the same here. We're of a certain age, most of us. Perhaps you, like me, are retired or coming up to retirement. My productive days are coming to an end, I'm thinking. Perhaps some of you are even looking forward to that or have looked forward to that. Well, then take note. This psalm, Psalm 92, is for you. Take it to heart, for here we see that the people of God are going to get fruitier the longer that they live. Perhaps, though, right now you're thinking of people you know who have diminished in their fruitfulness as they've got older. Why would that be? Well, perhaps the answer is there, found in verse 13 of our psalm. They no longer flourish in the courts of the Lord because they are no longer planted in the house of the Lord. They become distracted by other priorities. They're tired spiritually. They've laid aside the Bibles that have been so much a part of their lives previously. They've programmed in more me time, which is okay, but they programmed out the Sunday service, the house group, the Bible study, or their daily devotions. They don't spend that time anymore giving thanks to the Lord in the morning and the evening, speaking to him, singing songs to him and with him. And consequently, they diminish in their fruitfulness. So plant yourselves in the house of the Lord. Give thanks, the psalmist says, and you will flourish and become more and more fruitful as the days roll on. Why are there so many places in the Bible that give advice like that? It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Why does God command us to give thanks in every circumstance, to be people who praise? Do you think God has a self-worth issue? Perhaps the Lord needs to have his ego stroked continuously. Well, I can tell you, our God has no problem with his self-esteem. I think you know that. And that is not the purpose of praise. The fact is that it's us that need to be thanking and praising and worshipping him. Why? Well, let's take a look at the reasons. If we could have slide 5. Firstly, praise delights our Father. He doesn't need to be praised, but he's delighted by praise. He is delighted when his children come together to praise him, when we gather together to worship in unity. Behold, the psalmist says, inspired by God, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And that reveals the heart of our Father, doesn't it? He delights to see his children gathering together and worshipping together in unity. I don't know about you, but I love the family times when kids come over for a meal for special celebrations, especially for Father's Days. And we all sit around the table joking and talking, and perhaps I get a card from the kids or from a granddaughter saying, I'm the best dad or the best granddad in the world, and I get a gift and a big hug, and they're good times, they're special times. And you know, the Greek word for worship is proskuneo, which literally means pros, turn to, and kuneo, to kiss. And that's what worship is. It's a show of affection to the Father who has lavished such care upon us. And it delights our Father. He is enthroned, Psalm 22 verse 3 says, upon the praises of his people. The Lord inhabits or is enthroned upon our praises. When we come together in unity and praise him and give him thanks, it builds a throne on which the Lord loves to sit and rule from, where literally the Lord finds it comfortable to be. Now I'm sure you, like me at times, have felt distance from God. I've known that he is with me and he will never leave me, but somehow I lose my tuning. Have you felt like that? You know, when you're on a long journey in a car and you've been listening to Radio 4 or something, and the reception as you move along starts to disappear, and you just end up getting a sort of a crackle of static. In no time at all, signal goes altogether, and you have to retune to get another frequency of Radio 4. That's sometimes how it is with God, isn't it? My journey with the Lord is good, I'm hearing clearly, and I'm enjoying his closeness and his favour, but gradually the signal gets weaker. And before I know where I am, I'm tuned out altogether. It happens, doesn't it? But here's the thing. In John chapter 4, it says, the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. In other words, God is constantly looking for people, groups of people, congregations, who will worship him. And he seeks them out. He comes looking for those places where people give thanks. He comes to inhabit the praises of his people. And he comes to be enthroned in those places. He's here tonight. Now let me tell you, I consider myself really fortunate that for the last 30 years I've led worship in the church at Wickham and Burtley. It's been an honour, it's a privilege. But it's also a huge blessing for me personally. I don't know if John finds the same thing. Because I've noticed time and time again, I can be in the darkest of moods, feeling so distant from God. But when I spend those few hours having to plan the worship, singing those songs through in my office, I'm repeatedly and automatically lifted from whatever mood and depression I'm in, and I get tuned back into the Lord again, replanted in the house of the Lord. And for the worship leader, that's a great benefit because you have to do it. John 4 says, he seeks those who praise him, and I found that to be true. So next time you feel down, tired, depressed, or simply not right with God, and you feel you've lost the presence of the Lord in your life, you could go looking for him, if you like. But I'd suggest you just take time out and give him thanks. Count your blessings. Sing praises to him. And he will come to you because he seeks those who praise him and delights in their thanksgivings. And why does it delight the Lord to hear your praise? Because when we praise him, we will fulfill the promise of our creation, the purpose of our being. Just quickly, we exist for three purposes. First, for edification. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave the church apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for edifying the body of Christ. He gives us gifts corporately so that we will be edified, built up, until we all come into maturity. Secondly, we exist for evangelism, to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a needy world so that they might be saved. And thirdly and primarily, we exist as a church and you exist as individuals, not primarily for edification, nor for evangelism, but for his exaltation. All things exist for his exaltation firstly, then edification, and then evangelism. Colossians tells us all things were created by him and for him, and that we exist for his pleasure. Revelation 4 says, "We are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created." You exist, my friends, to bring pleasure to God. Isn't that great? And the primary way to bring him pleasure is to give him thanks, offer him praise, worship and adore him. Do that, and everything else will flow from there. Okay, so it's praise delights our Father. Number two, praise develops the family. A church family like yours will have members with a number of different interpretations, understandings of some scriptures, but it is also itself a part of a much wider church, which has even more diverse beliefs and doctrines and interpretations of points of theology. So how can we ever come together to celebrate in unity? Well, the way that people find unity in the Lord is to come before the Lord in worship. When you come to the foot of the cross, to Jesus Christ, you give worship to him, and then you experience a oneness, a unity that transcends any differences that we might have in minor points of theology or whatever it might be. There is a unity in worship that comes from worship, and that's why worship is so important. It develops the family. Let me read 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison, the King James says, they were as one, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good, his love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service. The King James says they could not stand physically because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. These guys, these priests, had begun to give thanks in one voice, as one sound, as one man, in unison of praise. And the presence of the Lord filled that place so fully, so powerfully, they couldn't even stand. Wow. If you ever needed proof that our God is powerful, that would be it, wouldn't it? God is delighted when we join together in one accord to praise him as one. There's just a quick point I want to make here, which is important, but it is something I doubt is a problem here, and that is this. There are times in worship when we as individuals will feel a need to express ourselves. In dance, in kneeling, in applause, in the raising of hands, in proclamation, in tongues, in the waving of flags, even shouting out. All these things are biblical. And personally, I'd love to see more of them in our praise. But we always need to be careful that we maintain a oneness, a unity of praise. What I mean is, if our individual expression of praise distracts rather than edifies and encourages, if it draws attention to us rather than to God, then we shouldn't do it. How do you know when you're crossing the line? Well, you just talk to God and be sensitive to the Spirit. I mention this not because I suspect that you have a problem here, and we haven't got a problem in our church at the moment at any rate, but because it can happen. And I have experienced it, as I'm sure many of you have in the past. And it's especially important to understand that for those who are involved in leading worship, in fact, leading worship isn't really what we should be doing. We just should be facilitating worship. And I've just loved the way John led worship, and you all joined with him in unity this evening. There is a fine line sometimes between leading worship and performing, manipulating and distracting in all forms of worship. Worship in unity is about losing your identity in a body of worshippers, not calling attention to yourself. Okay, moving on. Thirdly, praise not only delights our Father and develops the family, it also defeats our foe. 2 Chronicles 20 is one of my favorite Bible stories. The Ammonites and the Moabites, with a few Menuhites thrown in, were gathered to attack Judah in the valley of Barakah. Judah was hopelessly outnumbered, so the king, Jehoshaphat, wisely decided to inquire of the Lord. And he called the people together to fast and pray. And the Lord sent a prophet who told the king, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's." Hallelujah. And here's what I want you to do. Send out your worship group into the valley, not the army. Great that, John. You ready? Are you ready to go? Though an odd instruction, the king did just that. I would love to know what the worship band were thinking when he told them. So the worship band marched out into the valley towards the enemy, playing and singing, "The victory is ours when the battle is the Lord's. Hosanna, Hosanna." And the enemy was so confused by this, they started killing each other. The Ammonites and the Moabites laid in Meunites and killed them, and then killed each other. And when Jehoshaphat's army looked across the valley, all they could see were the dead bodies of the enemy. Now, all stories in the Old Testament are there for a reason, aren't they? And there's no exception. It's to show us in the physical that which relates to the spiritual. That's what the Old Testament is all about, right? Physical pictures of spiritual truth. And the truth here is, when sometimes we feel outnumbered by our problems, encircled by the enemy, under siege, what do? Worship. It's a powerful weapon against our foe, Satan. You know, our worship must drive Satan crazy. Remember, Lucifer was the worship leader of heaven, but he got ideas above his station and he was kicked out of heaven and became Satan. And 1/3 of the angels went with him and became demons. As far as worship went, he had been the man, Satan. And he forgot what the object of true worship was, and he wanted the worship of heaven for himself. And you know, nothing has changed. This is still the case. And it drives Satan crazy when he encounters heartfelt praise like we've had this evening, being offered to the Lord and not to him. I've heard it said that to Satan, worship is like hearing fingernails being dragged down a blackboard, or being in the waiting room of the dentist when you can hear the drill next door. And you know what? When you're feeling defeated and you launch into worship, it's Satan who's defeated as we pray and adore the Lord. So number one, praise delights our Father. Number two, praise develops the family. Number three, praise defeats our foe. And four, praise declares our faith. I thank God that you are a praising church here in Newcastle. But you know there are churches who are not, really. There have been churches that have said the kind of worship we enjoy is not culturally relevant anymore. It's time to do something different. They say people don't like singing together anymore. But it's my opinion, declaring our faith by singing praise and giving thanks corporately the way that we do is showing the world what we believe in is real. There's plenty of stuff out there in the media which is plastic and fluffy and unreal. And when the skeptic and unbeliever experiences a church which is truly worshipping in spirit and in unity, I believe they recognize it as something different, something which is real, maybe not culturally relevant, but it is transcendent spiritually. It is something otherworldly. And isn't that what happened in Acts 2 when evangelism exploded on the day of Pentecost, when 120 people gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came upon them? When they began to worship God in the Spirit and in other tongues, praising God for his amazing works in ways that nobody had seen before. "What's going on up there?" the people asked. "They must be drunk." But then Peter said, "These people aren't drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." This is it, Peter said. The Spirit of God is working. This is something deeply important happening here. And what did happen? 3,000 people were saved that day as a result of them seeing and overhearing a group of 120 sincerely worshipping and praising and giving thanks together, which was then followed by a sermon and an explanation of what had just happened. If we worship the Lord in unity and sincerity, I personally believe it actually draws people who are ready towards the truth rather than pushing them away. Praise declares our faith. So praise delights our Father, develops the family, defeats our foe, declares our faith, and praise dethrones our flesh. Let me read Psalm 115. "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats." In other words, they are deaf, dumb, and blind, and pretty lame. Then the next verse, verse 8. "Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." So those that make the idols will be deaf and dumb and blind, just like the idols they make. The word tells us that we become just like the things we worship. If you worship a deaf, dumb and blind idol, you'll become just like it, deaf, dumb and blind. You become like the person you worship as far as you are able to. If you worship dumb idols, you become dumb. If you worship the Lord, you dethrone the flesh and become like him. In John 12, we see Mary going to the Lord with her alabaster box and pouring the perfume on his head just days before he was going to be crucified. That jar of perfume was worth more than a year's wages and was probably her dowry. What she was saying by doing this was, "Lord, materially and relationally, I give it all to you. You're worth it. You mean everything to me. And this is my act of worship." Judas, on the other hand, stood by the side of the Lord and said, "Lord, what a waste. The perfume could have been sold. And the money raised could have been used for something more practical." Now, was Judas really concerned about using the money more wisely? No, of course not. He had more selfish a more selfish agenda than that. John tells us he was the treasurer, you see, and he had his fingers in the money bag. His love was for the love of money. That was his idol. That's where his worship was directed. So when Judas reprimanded Mary for being wasteful, Jesus said, "Leave her alone, because what she has done is for my burial." You see, we know from John that even though Jesus already explained that his time to die was very, very near, right there in Jerusalem, where soon he would be crucified, buried, and then rise again 3 days later, the disciples just didn't get it. But this lady, Mary, she got it. She understood. She loved Jesus. She was no scholar, but she was a worshipper. Unless the theologian is a worshipper, he'll never get the bigger picture. But Mary did, even when those he had trained for 3 years didn't. Then, as the perfume flowed down his beard and onto his feet, she took her hair and dried his feet with it. And in that expression of extreme worship, her hair took on the same fragrance as the Lord's. And that's what happens when we worship, when we sit at his feet and express our love for him. Somehow we leave the fragrance of Christ upon us. If we make somebody or something an object of worship in our lives, we will enthrone them in our hearts and become like them or like it. If we choose to worship Jesus, we will become more like him. That's what Mary experienced that day. Worshipping the Lord dethrones our flesh. Now, one final thing, and I'll finish. I hope, made a great case for being a worshipper. It delights our Father. It develops our family. It defeats our foe. It declares our faith. And it dethrones our flesh. But one final warning. And this is more for the youngsters of today, I have to say. Worship can become an idol in itself. Worship can become an idol in itself. And in doing so, can destroy our first love. If we worship, we are setting up a false idol. In the 90s, there was an explosion of new praise. Music led by guys like Matt Redman, we've been singing some of his songs this evening, Steve Townend, Chris Tomlin. Modern songs with great arrangements, taking Christian music, I think, to a new level of professionalism. Yes, a lot of the songs were focused on me and I rather than him and you, Lord, but over the years, that has mainly disappeared. Matt Redman was a worship leader in a church down where I came from, Watford Church, called Soul Survivor, and mainly due to the style and professionalism of the worship he introduced, the church became very, very popular, as did Matt Redman and his worship band. And this led to the leader of the church to make a very brave decision. The pastor, Mike Pilavachi, sensed that in all the excellence of craft, and I'm quoting this, there was a heart of praise missing from their gathered worship, and Redman was the first to admit that they were getting caught up less in true worship and more in quality of sound, the desire to be pleasing people more than simply the ear of God. So the pastor of the church did a very brave thing. He told the band to stop using the PA, put away the projectors, and they packed away their instruments and started meeting in an adjoining room with nothing but their voices and their Bibles. And of course, their hearts. Matt Redman said, "We stripped away anything associated with style, preference, or performance, and there was a real sense of discovering the heart of worship again." And he wrote that song, The Heart of Worship, which describes what happened when the music fades and all is stripped away. "And I simply come longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart." Redman wrote, "It was a song written out of witnessing what God was doing with our worshiping community. As a church family, we'd always given lots of time to responding to God through song. However, we'd lost something of the sense of bringing an offering. Instead, a sense of consumerism had seeped in. Songs and style and personal volume preferences and so on had crept far too high up the ladder. We'd lost the dynamic of worship being the all-consuming response to the all-deserving revelation of God." What happened at Soul Survivor is an example of how worship can become a means to an end. They courageously acted when they saw what was happening. But others have used and manipulated worship, using it as a tool for evangelism and church growth, which is not its purpose and it never should be. I think probably the greatest explosion ever recorded is in Revelation 5, where we read that the four living creatures fell down before him, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands encircled the throne and lifted up their voices and had an amazing hallelujah happening. But why? And this is the key. It's because earlier in the chapter we read, in the midst of all these worshippers had appeared the Lamb, as if it had been slain. That was the reason. That was the purpose of their worship, and it must always be ours and nothing else. You see, the heart of worship is not music and song. It's not style or tempo. It's not skill or ability. What it is heads and hearts in joyful awe of the real Jesus. And this comes from a real commitment to building and maintaining relationship with the Lord, our first love. Hallelujah. You cannot learn it. It mustn't be forced or manipulated. It's all about Him, for Him, to Him, Jesus. It blesses us greatly, but it's for Him, and He delights in it. So continue to be, and encourage others to be, true worshippers here in New Life Church. For it delights the Father. It develops your family. It defeats the foe. It declares your faith. And it dethrones the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. Thank you.